Welcome to Stock Talk, the new Stockhouse podcast series that brings you behind-the-scenes insights into trending topics from capital markets, influencers, and entrepreneurs, broadcasting from the heart of the financial district in beautiful downtown Vancouver.
I'm Dave Jackson, editorial writer here at Stockhouse Media. This podcast is part of our metals and mining sector CEO interview series, and our mission going forward is to help listeners and investors understand more about investment opportunities in the public marketplace. For metals and mining investors, copper has long been one of the planet's most in-demand metals. But the shine on this versatile industrial metal has dulled over the past number of years, as overall investment hasn't kept up with consumption, as the copper industry has suffered from years of underinvestment. But the world needs copper, and a lot of it. Especially with the burgeoning electric vehicle and green energy industries, copper will be more in demand than ever. Copper compounds are also used as bacteriostatic agents, fungicides, and wood preservatives. Rockcliff Metals Corp. is a well-funded Canadian resource development and exploration company and near-term copper producer owning several advanced-stage, high-grade copper and zinc-dominant VMS deposits in the Flin Flon Snow Lake Greenstone Belt, the largest VMS district in the world. The company's extensive portfolio of property totals, over 4,500 square kilometers, includes eight of the highest-grade undeveloped VMS deposits and five load gold properties held by the wholly owned subsidiary, Goldpath Resources Corp. Today, we're glad to be joined by Alistair Ross, President and CEO of Rockcliff Metals. With over 40 years of experience, Mr. Ross is a seasoned and accomplished leader in the mining industry, known for his passion for mentorship in order to develop true leadership potential within individuals and organizations. Before joining Rockcliff, Alistair was the head of mining and milling for Vale's North Atlantic base metals operations and ran his own consultancy business. Mr. Ross holds a BSc in metallurgical engineering, an ARSM, and a Master of Science degree in mineral process design, and a DIC from the Royal School of Mines Imperial College, London University, England. Thanks for joining us, Alistair.
Dave, thank you. It's a pleasure to be here.
Well, Alistair, things are starting to heat up in the metals and mining sector, specifically copper, with several billion-dollar projects like the Kamoa-Kakula in the Democratic Republic of Congo soon to be operational. Can you tell us and our investor audience a bit about your four Manitoba projects?
Yeah, sure, Dave. So for us, the context, as you laid out around copper, we believe that demand for copper is going to jump by between 2 and 4 million tons a year over the next sort of 5 or 6 years as the battery electric vehicle and the new green energy generation systems are installed. And, you know, yes, there are some major projects coming on, but I don't think there's anywhere near enough to take care of that demand. Also, the big projects take many, many years to bring online. So I think when you start to look at Rockcliff and its properties, one of the things that we feel is in our favor is the fact that we will be small. Our projects will be small. The permitting process is somewhat easier for us. We're going to be in a traditional district where mining is well known and understood. And also the amount of capital we need to bring each of our mines on is going to be quite low compared to the large open pit porphyry deposits. So one of the things that's interesting about all of our projects are that they're very near surface, but they will need to be underground because they're, for copper, quite high grade, but they're narrow veined, steeply dipping ore bodies. But because they're near surface, we'll just access them with portals, not shafts. The fact that we also have the Bucko Mill under lease in Waboden, which is within 100 to 150 kilometers of any one of our projects as we know them today, and we'll ship ore from there to the mill, means that we don't have to permit a mill with a tailings facility or even go through design, construct, and commission of a mill. We have one waiting for us. Makes our ability to put copper on the market in a relatively short term, that we believe will fit that demand curve as it starts to boost over the next few years.
Now, as the new CEO since May, what attracted you to Rockcliff in the first place?
That's a good question. I was happily in my second retirement when Rockcliffe gave me a call. And I think once I'd gone through their website and then started to speak with the new board of directors, what particularly got me excited was the number of properties over a pretty vast area in a very good area as well, that says not only do we know what we could potentially start looking at short term, but the long term play to find more and maybe something even of quite significant size, for me is what was particularly exciting. So I think also what helped is that the money to keep us going over the next few years to do the infill drilling on some of the deposits to bring them up to a study stage level deposit, plus enough money to get some studies done through one of them, at least through a bankable feasibility study, meant, you know, we could get to work straight away on building the intent of the company, which is how fast can we go producing. So a lot of the groundwork had been done and the potential seemed very high to me. So I was pretty quick to put the old work clothes back on and get out in the field.
Good stuff. Now, some big company news announced this morning, and I'm quoting here, Rockcliffe completes 51% earn-in on Talbot property and reports additional high-grade drill results. Can you walk us through the Talbot property option agreement and these exceptional assay results and what it means for the company?
Yes, we're very pleased with the progress made on Talbot over the last few months. We had four drills running there for a few months until we met the 51% earn-in requirement. It was a property that we had optioned off of Hud Bay a few years back. And with the birth of the new Rockcliffe and the arrival of significant, you know, $20 million and 100,000 meters of drilling available to us, you can see that we can actually put a lot of data on the table. And Talbot has taken its fair share right up until we completed that 51% earn-in. What's next for us on the option agreement is discussions with Hud Bay on who's going to take the operatorship of that going forward. We've earned the right, and we're beginning as the operator on that. But Hud Bay does have a buyback that it can exercise over the next couple of years. You know, they'll take their time. They have 90 days to form the JV with us and decide whether they leave us as the operator or whether they would prefer to take that role. We'll obviously get in those conversations in the new year as we finalize the JV. And right after that, regardless of who the operator is, we're anticipating getting the drills back and finishing up. And, you know, that leads to the second part of your question. Why we want to put the drills back there is that we've been seeing very, very good backup data. We're doing a lot of infill drilling on that deposit. We're looking at moving approximately 2 to 2.5 million tons from an inferred to an indicated resource at what we believe are very good grades. And the reason we particularly like Talbot is that it comes with a gold sweetener that's very unusual for these VMS copper deposits that we typically finding up there. We're finding between 1 and 2 grams per ton of gold in this property, in addition to the 2 to 3% copper. So it's very exciting.
For our mining investor audience who might not be all that familiar with the Flin Flon, Snow Lake, Greenstone Belt, Manitoba mining jurisdiction, can you illuminate them as to this particular area and its core benefits?
Sure. You know, the major heartbeat in that area for the many, many years was the Flin Flon deposit in the town of Flin Flon, discovered almost a century ago, ran for about 90 years. It was a monster deposit. But that one that was the birth of Hudson Bay Minerals, it got them a piece of land up there that they started to find many, many more deposits. And they've been mining there for all those 90 years. And there's been 30 mines approximately that have gone into production up there. And some of our deposits are already reaching grades and size of previous mines that went into production. So for us, it's just a matter of shoring up the data that says we really do have some to add to that 30, which clearly that's why we're putting the money in. We believe that's a high possibility. And then what we also like about it is that because there's been mining up there for 90 years, everybody in our neighbors around us has been very, very welcoming. We've enjoyed meeting, from First Nations folk in the Moose Lake and Norway House bands of the Cree Nation, the local towns of Waboden and Snow Lake and the Pa. They've all understand mining, and they're all very welcoming and look forward to us being able to make that decision. And then, you know, clearly there's a lot of history of people working in it too that we believe we'll be able to tap into as part of our workforce going forward. So I think the history of the place is it's a pretty good place to go mining if you can find the right deposits, which beginning to look like we might have them.
Now, your corporate deck says Rockcliff is, quote, building a copper mining company in the largest VMS district in the world. Now, this sounds very exciting. Can you explain in detail, you know, what this means for our investors?
Yeah, so I think you know, when we start talking about that size of that VMS district, what it particularly means is, yes, we've named four properties so far in our talk today, but we've got another four or five named deposits up there of various stages of certainty, some historic drilling, some more current, all indicating very, very similar to what we've reported on the more extensively drilled properties, as in their narrow vein, steeply dipping, high-grade copper deposits. And we'll begin exploring some of those at the beginning of next year. And in addition to that, with that large land package that you mentioned in your introduction, we've put a large study together that's for the first time on that district south of Snow Lake underneath that limestone cover, which no one really has explored very much on because it's quite hard to look underneath the limestone. We begin to look underneath it with some new technology and with a multi-stage various different types of geophysics, we've begun to put a map of what we believe are very interesting targets that have never had drill core in them. And once we've sorted our priority list out, we will begin to put some additional holes in the ground on properties that, you know, hopefully we'll have names on them later with some resource attached to them. But it's just the sheer size of that area that has been underexplored. And, you know, currently we've got pretty decent amount of money. You know, we started with $20 million just back in August to put into holes in that area. So we're very optimistic that not only will our immediate production plans come to fruition, but that the possibility of finding something that creates a long-term mining company up there is also something that's exciting for potential investors.
Alistair, can you discuss the long-term strategy for the company moving forward? And, you know, how do you see the copper exploration sector evolving, particularly in this part of Canada?
Yeah, I would say in that part of Canada, you know, we will probably be the major explorer up there. We've got the land, we've got the money. When people go to the website and look at our land position, you'll see that you know, we are the story up there. So if you like copper and if you like Canada, you know, Rockcliff's in the right place for that. Our particular strategy is that rather than keep going back to the market, which is, you know, people see is a pretty hard place to raise money and not dilute the company excessively, we want to actually start generating cash from operations such that we could further explore that area. And in order to start generating cash, we're advancing three particular projects in parallel through the drilling and early stage preliminary economic analysis studies that says by the end of that first quarter, we'll be able to pick one. And from there, take that one through to bankable feasibility study. So our strategy really is by the end of next year, have the board be in a position to take a strong look at our bankable feasibility study and whether we can make a construction decision that would allow us to almost immediately, assuming we put our financing plan in action, that allows for us to raise appropriate cash by that time, that we would start digging for our first mine in the first quarter of 2021, because our permitting at the moment is on track to allow that to occur as well.
So what's next for Rockcliff, and you know, what should we be watching for in the upcoming months?
Yeah, very good. We've got enough geological data from the drill campaign that began in July on the rail property in August at the Talbot and September at the Tower, where during the course of January, we'll be beginning to finalize an updated resource model on each of those properties. And those properties will also then, on the back of that new mineral resource model, we'll begin to put a mining plan against it such that we can publish a preliminary economic analysis on that, which should be available for us to publish somewhere around the beginning of the second quarter of next year. So the next few months are very, very important ones for us as we nail down those three particular things, the mining method, the resource modeling, and the preliminary economic analysis.
So what sets Rockcliff Metals apart from other junior mining companies in this space, Alistair? And you know, what makes your business model attractive to investors?
Well, I think the first thing that clearly differentiates us is the healthy bank balance and the fact we won't be needing to go back to the market until the end of 2020. And when we do, that'll be in order to raise cash to actually get into production, which is a very different market to attract investment from. So that's the first thing, is we clearly are well-funded. I think the second is, when the board started the company in this new direction in May and hired me as a CEO, one of the mandates that was clearly given to me was not doing business a traditional way. So I think the business model that we hope to show very clearly by the time our PEAs come out at the end of that first quarter of next year is people begin to get a flavor that we're an innovative, agile company that actually likes to design with intent from the beginning. So you'll begin to see right from the start that the safety, health, and environment aspects of mining will start to look quite different because we can design from scratch. We don't have a hole in the ground yet, so we can decide. And some of the things we've decided right up front is it possible to actually get rid of raises out of the mine and remove one of the fatal risks that mining has with it? We intend to be fully electric underground, so there'll be no diesel, which means that the health of the workers will be looked after. And another great thing for the environment is once you're fully electric is that the ventilation requirements drop significantly. And in northern Manitoba, ventilation carries with it a huge amount of heating requirement, which is a direct greenhouse gas emission. And by collapsing that ventilation requirement, you're going to see that our greenhouse gases emissions drop dramatically. And so we want to look, from safety, health, environment, a very, very different company. I think the last piece that's worth mentioning here about what's different about our model is that we've also, because our mine lives will be relatively short, by design from the beginning, we're intending to move as much capital from one mine to the next. Big shafts and big vent raises and all that always have to get left behind. They can't be moved. And by designing up front much smaller holes, no shaft, you can see that nearly all of our capital, well, a significant portion of our capital move from one mine to the next, so that after our first raise, the second mine and the third mine and so on will be a lot cheaper. And so our capital effectiveness compared to other copper miners should be very attractive too.
Finally, Alistair, what can you tell our investor audience regarding the current valuation of your stock and why it's a good value buy right now?
Yeah, I think the current valuation of our stock is it's trading close to our cash position. In other words, the market does not see value at the moment in our assets potentially. So, that's interesting to us because clearly one of the reasons I joined is I think the assets have tremendous future value. Now, I don't know that the audience will be able to see that until we publish our PEAs. And I think one of the things about waiting for a PEA is that that might be too late if you wanted to jump in and get our stock price at a cheap level. When we publish some good PEAs and announce the BFS, I can really see the potential for a big kick in the share price because our transition then from an explorer to a pre-producer will be a lot clearer for people than perhaps it is now. So, I would be if people like copper, and if they like Canada, now's the time to, I think, to be looking strongly at Rockcliff.
We've been speaking with Alistair Ross, President and CEO of Rockcliff Metals. I'd like to once again thank Alistair for joining us and sharing his helpful and insightful information about Rockcliffe with our Stockhouse podcast listeners and investors. I'm Dave Jackson for Stockhouse Media and the Stock Talk Metals and Mining Sector podcast. We hope you enjoyed today's podcast and found it informative and insightful. Thanks for listening.
Just a reminder to follow us on social media at Stockhouse for the latest updates on all your favorite public companies in North America. For more in-depth coverage, industry news, and to connect with our active investor community, you can visit our website at stockhouse.com. Also, don't forget to visit our new and improved Stockhouse Deal Room on site for unique and exclusive private placement opportunities only available on stockhouse.com.